Amen. Glory, power, and honor, Lord. Happy Good Friday. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive. We just thank God for another day's journey. Good afternoon, and welcome Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Friday Worship, Good Friday Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Good Friday service, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. We ask that you tell someone else that this Good Friday service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Why we are here, proclamation. We could proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with our scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen? Amen. Our scripture reading today is Luke 23, that's 32 through 43. Luke 23, 32 through 43. And it is titled, Just for Me. Amen? Here reads the word. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull by him, there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. May the Lord add a reading to this. Hearers, doers, listeners of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this service now or later. Father, we thank you for today, for this opportunity to offer you up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross. For our, and saving and your saving grace, Lord. And it is in your name that we ask these blessings. Amen. 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 And now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Strong to what I could not understand. But for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go, I'm not gonna let you slip away, you don't have to be afraid, mercy said no, sin will never take control, life and death. Still my heart away.
Do you love him in here? to you, Lord.
Testify, tell you of the goodness of my Lord, share some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own, but there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus, and he loves me. And I know this, he died for me and he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. His name is Jesus. Yes, he loves me and I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. Oh, how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand amazing grace. Through all of the pain, all of the shame, I realize there is nothing that could take. Of me, but I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing. Oh, Jesus, yes, he loves me, I know this, 'cause he died and he rescued me. No greater love. I know. Oh,
Amen. Jesus, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Thank you, Pastor O, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. You always take us there, and we just thank you. Amen. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Amen, amen, amen. Well, here we are at the altar again. Of course, you know my name is Charles Tate. But right now, we're just going straight to prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. We cannot possibly do anything but thank you right now. Simply because of the fact that you thought of us a long time ago. And you see, when I'm talking to you, Lord, I come to understand that when we go back to John 1:1, we come to understand that in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. So you see, Father, we know who we're talking to. Right now, the one that not anybody in this world, as we know it, all of the earth knows what today means. We talked about it in, as it being Easter Sunday. We talked about it being Resurrection Sunday. But, Father, there is not anyone that does not know what this day means to us that believes and the unbelievers, too. So, Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. You gave your life. You came down from heaven. And you gave your life just so that we might be able to live. You see, I just got to say it. You know, you didn't have to do it, but you chose to. Isaiah 53 talks about the beatdown that you took because it had to be done. We talk about the scapegoat and how a lamb without spot or blemish had to be given. There was no animal here that could do that. There was no person here that could do that. It had to be a perfect person. So you took the form of man, came down from heaven just on our behalf. You walked in our shoes. You gave up everything just for us, Father, Jesus. And I just got to tell you, thank you. Because you see, there was no way that we could come to be where you are right now because your Father, God the Father, knows no sin, no iniquity, none of that. So it had to be something put in place. And like I said, you decided to give your life for us. So I thank you. I personally thank you, and not just for me, but for everybody, even for those, Father, that don't know you yet. I come to the place right now where I just got to hope that one day they come to the realization how it is that they don't recognize who you are right now. It's by choice. It's strictly by choice. Because, see, you did walk this earth. When you rose out of that grave, over 500 people saw you. But you walked before you went to the cross with people, Father. You, Jesus, you did miracles in front of them. Just the other day we read about you raising your friend Lazarus from the dead. So you walked this earth as a human being. Just to know what we went through, but at the same time so the people would come to recognize who you are. So, Father, I pray right now for that one that doesn't recognize, that said that you don't, that they seriously come to the realization before they leave this earth just to who you really are. And the great part about it is that you don't charge us anything for that. The Bible tells us, your word tells us that you was wounded for our transgressions. You was bruised for our iniquities. You took a beat down strictly just for us. And you didn't have to do it, but it had to be done. So you said that you would. Jesus, right now, I just thank you. And I'm talking to you, Jesus, because I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, because I know you're seated on the right-hand side of the Father right now. You're not in that grave anymore. But as a reminder, we come to what we call Good Friday, but it wasn't a Good Friday for you. But we call it Good Friday because it opened up the door for us to be able to come to be with you. You took all our sin, all our transgressions, everything, past, present, and future that we had done and will do, because we still continue in sin. We was made in sin. We was formed in sin. But because of you, all that has been washed away. And we thank you for that. I love it when we say, if we just confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What I don't understand is, Father, why do you continue to forgive us? Because we continue to mess up. But you do anyway because you said that you would. The Bible tells us perfect love casts out all fear. I can't start to imagine what went through your head when you knew, and you knew that you would have to do this. You prayed to your Father in the garden, if it's any way possible, let this cup not come to me. But you knew it had to be done, and you drank from that cup. So I don't understand today why it is that we don't do anything but thank you. That's all we can do right now. For the one that doesn't believe, Father, today, like I said a few minutes ago, everybody knows what Good Friday is about. It's not about Easter eggs. It's not about Easter bunnies. It's not about anything. It's strictly about you. So let it be, Father, that everyone, because you said there was room. You told us in John chapter 14 that it was room in your Father's house for everybody. And you was going to prepare a place for us so we would be able to be with you always. So everybody knows. And the great part about it, Father, the scary part about it sometimes too, Father, is that one day you coming back. And like I just heard earlier, everybody knows about you. Maybe there are some that I don't know about, Father, that has yet to know about you, Jesus. But here in this world that we live in right now, we know time is wrapping up. In the United States of America, where I am right now, there is not a person that can't say that they don't know who you are. So, Father, I pray that by choice, because, see, Father, you made us so we would be able to choose you, Jesus. You made us so that we'd be able to decide who we want to be with. I hope and pray that they come to the realization, because just like we sing and talk about this day, the day is going to come where one day we're going to see you again. It's either going to be those of us that know you where we meet you in the sky or in heaven or come back from the grave and come to know you. Or it's going to be face-to-face in a way that people really don't want to see you. See, we know time is wrapping up here, Lord. It really is. So right now, today is really not a day of celebration. But you just told me to know, celebrate. Because, see, you're alive right now. This is a day of remembrance as to what you did for us while you were here. The price that you had to pay just for our redemption. And for that, we thank you. And we truly thank you, Lord, because, see, we couldn't pay the price. There was nothing we could have done to make ourselves right with you. But in order for things be made right for the Father, you said that you would do it. And we thank you. We thank you immensely. We thank you with our whole hearts. And it was only mercy, the mercy that you have for us, and grace that keeps us. So I just got to say thank you. That's all I can think of to tell you today. Because if it wasn't for you, where would I be? Where would any of us be? And I'm just personal with it, but where would I be? Absolutely nowhere. But with you, I have everything. Everything. I love it, like I said, when you said, in your Father's house there are many mansions, that you're going to prepare a place for us so we could be with you always. I hate it when I read about the Isaiah 53, the beat down that you had to take. But I do know right now where you are, seated on the right-hand side of the Father, listening still to each and every one of our prayers, telling us in your word to humble ourselves before you, and you'll lift us up, telling us in your word to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. You're still doing the same thing for us that you did when you went to that cross, giving you to us. And there's absolutely nothing that we could give you that would equal what you've done for us, except thanks. And that's all you want. That's all you ask for, just to recognize who you are. And not so that you could toot your own horn, because you could do that all day, every day if you wanted to. But just because you loved us and you want us to be with you forever. Lord, I thank you. I don't know if this was altar call prayer, Lord, but it's the one that you gave me. It's the one that I got right now. So I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power and prayer. We are so grateful. So grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Charles Tate, for just acknowledging Jesus and his sacrifice for us, and for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. So far, we are enjoying this Good Friday service. With more to come, I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And I hope you were blessed by this Good Friday service and be a blessing. And we'll let others know that we are here on Blog Talk Radio. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share that love, the joy, and the blessing. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour for our Good Friday sermon is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess Rebecca Johnson as she comes in her own unique. Amen.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem of your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world had never. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had. The Lord of glory had gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. Just for me.
Well, the cross will always represent
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Came and did just for me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Just for me. Died on Calvary. Oh, oh yes, you did. Oh, Jesus came. Did us. We're ever grateful, ever grateful. Say now, just for me. Died on Calvary. Hung you upon the tree. Oh, yes, baby.
Jesus came.
Did it just for me. Oh, just for
me.
Buried you in the grave. But you rose.
Good afternoon, church. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. In this big yet little church where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are, in this church that is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, where we come to worship and listen to the undiluted word of God, a spiritual brunch has been prepared for the nourishment of our inner man to keep us from being skinny in the spirit. Let's get the meat of this word. You could even go back for seconds since the message will be available later today on rfcm.org. Let us look intently into the word and get closer to Jesus. Today's message is titled, Jesus Did It Just For Me. The text is Matthew 27, verses 45 through 50, and I'll be reading from the NIV. So turn or click in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 27, verses 45 through 50. In my Bible, the title is The Death of Jesus, and it reads as follows. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Amen. Prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall. Bring us a word from the Lord about how Jesus did it just for me. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O, make it plain for us.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate you. Until Edward, I said hey, hey, and hey again.
I sure will.
All right. Hey, Edward. I know he like Edward. Really? Yes, indeed. Amen. We give thanks to God for all that has gone before this moment. for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, who always comes through and, amen, and is part of my memory. Amen. It helps me stay on track. I thank God for her. She's been, amen, a blessing to me since, well, ever since. Okay? So, amen. And I want to thank God again for Deacon Charles Tate. You can call on him at the last second. Amen. He gonna grumble because that's what he do. Amen. But he gonna do the will of God. Amen. He is that one. And when you said, "Will you do this?" No. But then he thought about it and did it. Amen. That's the man that Jesus said was blessed. Amen. And of course, we want to thank God for Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, scripture reader. Amen. And helped me to calm my nerves before I get ready to preach, and help me to see what Jesus wants me to see. Because he does that. I read. I've been a reader since I was a little kid. But when the Lord asked me to have somebody to read for me, I was like, "What, you don't like the way I read?" But I see now why he did that. It's for me. My wife prays for me every time I get ready to preach. Okay? He does that for me. Amen? Because he knows I'll be a straight-up mess if it didn't happen that way. So he provided a way for me to be not a straight-up mess. So I thank God for her and for everybody at Run for the whole Blog Talk Radio crew. You hear them all the time, okay? Mother Irma Miller, you know, regularly reading scripture, proclamation scriptures and prayers and all the others. I don't want to get the name and names and miss somebody, but you know who you are. I thank God for each and every one of you. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. Just as Deacon Charles said over and over, all we can do is give thanks, and that's enough. And we thank you for being able to give thanks for what you did. We, on this Good Friday, it's good for us, but it wasn't so much for you. But you loved us so much, you thought more about our good than your own. And so, Lord God, we thank you for providing us your only begotten Son, Jesus, that he would come into this world and divest himself of his godness or his deity and become human like us and live this life just like we do, breathe the air we breathe, walk the roads we walk, and put up with the stuff we have to put up. And we thank you for Jesus for obeying your Father and coming here and shedding your deity so you could do it like we do it. We have this saying, Lord, what if God became one of us and you did that? And now we know who we have, a Savior who has been touched with all our infirmities, and you know how we feel. And we just want to thank you for that, Jesus. Bless this word. Bless this people who hear it so that we get it and understand it and regurgitate it as often as we possibly can. In your name we ask it, Lord Jesus. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts. They're not like yours. But I'm here today to be changed, to be transformed, changing the way I think according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You've heard me say this a million times, but when the Lord gave me that, you really have no idea how much is in that. Because anytime the Lord says anything to me, I have to back it all up with scripture. And scripture, you know, Jesus liked to start at the beginning. So that means you're going to start at Genesis and you're going to work your way through the whole Bible until you get the whole thought. And then you can say, I nailed that thing down, and you really know what he said and what he meant. Amen. And then comes the hard part. This is where after illuminations comes practical application, right? It's where we have to start living it, whether we feel it or not. Amen. Today I want to talk to you just for a little bit about Jesus did it for me. Amen. Jesus did it just for me. Amen. Even though we were taught by Jesus to pray a prayer that begins with a reminder that we are a fraternity, that means it's not just me. Amen. He says, pray our Father. Amen. But you're going to have to make this personal. You're going to have to say, Jesus came and did it just for me. How amazing is that? That heaven thinks so much about you that if you had been the only person in existence, guess what? Jesus would have came and done it for you. What would he have done? Reconciled you back to God. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, it wasn't but two people on the planet, right? Wasn't it just Adam and Eve? Amen. And didn't they fall in the garden? And didn't Jesus get promised to us in Genesis 3:15? Didn't God do it just for them too? Amen. And through them, all of us can say that Jesus came and did it just for me. Amen. You know, I've been reading my book, Jesus Christ, From His Birth to His Ascension. I started out with his birth and childhood, and then I read about his public ministry, ending with his triumphal entry. And, amen, Pastor Sarah Tate did some excellent work on that, and you need to go and give it a listen. It's here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to our church website, click on Recorded Sermons, and go ahead and give it a listen. She did some excellent work, amen, on what Hosanna means. He saves, amen, on what the palms meant, amen. Go and give it a listen, because I keep talking about it. I'll preach it, amen, so I'm going to get back to what I was talking about. But I've been reading my book, and I went through the public ministry and all of that and ended with the triumphal entry, and then we came to the Last Supper. Because that is where it all begins. This march toward Calvary doesn't start at Calvary. But there's a road that Jesus has to go down to get there. And what I did when I wrote the book, and I thank the Lord for it, is take from every gospel their account. And then try to put those accounts in chronological order and then walk with Jesus from the Last Supper that he shared with his disciples, cross the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane and watch him begin what we call his agony. But actually, if you read John 12, the agony started there when the Gentiles, the Greeks, came seeking him, and two of his disciples came to him and said, the Greeks, they want to see you. Jesus knew that his time to head toward Calvary was on. He said to his father, Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? But it's because of this hour that I've come into the world. It's because of mankind's sin. It's because man is separated from God. It's because man cannot make himself right with God. For this reason, I've come. And so what Jesus did over there in John chapter 12 is asked his Father, glorify me now. And the Father said, you know how he wanted to be glorified? To have the strength, to have the will, to be able to deny himself, take up the cross, and follow his Father's will concerning saving our souls. And God spoke from heaven. His Father spoke from heaven, and it was in an audible voice that other people could hear. God's voice is so awesome. You know, I was reading when they came to arrest Jesus. Amen. And they said, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus stepped forward and said, I'm Jesus. And they just fell to the ground. There's something about that name. Amen. But God spoke audibly from heaven. And Jesus said, the Father, he didn't speak on my behalf because we're one. But he spoke for those people standing there that they might believe that Jesus is the Mashiach. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He's the one that they've been waiting on. Imagine that. The last time we hear the voice of God, the first time we hear it is when he speaks to Moses on the mountain. And Moses hears God's voice. Amen. And as we travel through the Bible, we stop at those places where God talked to mankind. But when we get to this place in the Bible, it is not just that man, that woman hearing from God, but it's everybody. We saw that when God gave them the word of God on that mountain back then in Exodus 20, right? God spoke not just so Moses could say what God said, but God spoke so the people would know that what Moses is saying, I said to him to say to you. The Bible says that some folks heard it and said that it was an angel. Others heard it and said that it thundered. But Jesus was beginning his trek to what we just read here in Matthew 27. I could hardly keep reading. There are some things when we get past the garden, I can deal with Jesus in the garden. That really doesn't bother me that much, except I've never been that anxious in my life about anything. We become anxious about some things, but not to the point of death. Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Jesus, the Bible says, with this level of anxiety that he was experiencing, sweat drops of blood. Pastor Jonathan Tate taught us in one of his sermons that we have these little veins that run close to the surface of our skin, and if you get stressed up just enough, they'll start popping, and then blood will come out. I've never had that happen to me, but Jesus did. Jesus came and went through that for me. Amen. You have to say that for yourself. Say, Pastor, oh, what about me? Well, you say it. Say, Jesus came. Make it personal. You got a relationship with him. Jesus, thank you for coming and doing that just for me. After the Last Supper, you need to read about that. Jesus said, let us go. And they left that place and they began a journey. I love reading it from John's gospel because you get to see the last words of Jesus with his disciples. I love reading it from Matthew's gospels 24 and 25 because you get that giant eschatological conversation, a study of the end times. Jesus tells us what's going to happen next so that we can be prepared for it. He has already told his disciples three times that he is going to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested by the Jews. He's going to be crucified by the Gentiles. On three different occasions, he's told them that, but I don't think they got it. Because when it happened, they acted as if they hadn't heard anything. They crossed the Kidron Valley and they entered into what we call the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus had often gone there to rest with his disciples, to recline, to get away from the crowds. At Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane is called that because there was in the garden what's called a Gethsemane. And what is that? Really, it's a large millstone in a circular trough. And what they would do is they would take the olives, throw them into the trough, and then a donkey with a pole attached to it to the center that where they had punched a hole through the millstone would go forward, and the millstone would follow and crush the olives. And then the oil would run down into a crevasse that they had prepared to receive it. And then they would take it and put it into jars. And they would sell it for all kinds of uses. The Gethsemane owner would make money because he was the one who had the Gethsemane, and the people brought their olives to him to extract the oil from it. Amen? And in that way, they would have everything they need. Do you see the metaphor here? Jesus is the olives. And so that we can get what we need from the olives, he has to be crushed. Amen. As you read through, amen, because I had to take, to write that book, I had to take all of the gospel accounts of Jesus' death, just dealing with this death. And papers were all over the floor. And when I tried my best to put them in chronological order. And that's when I learned so much about that Gethsemane. And that's when all these metaphors just started popping out. My pastor once told me when I was struggling to memorize scriptures, when I was struggling to even find verses to preach from, he told me, if you just read the Bible, sermons will jump out at you. I wasn't really reading at that time. I was just knowing Jesus. A lot of Christians do that. They don't read. They just know Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Amen. Just stop right there. The rest of it has said something else, but just stop. Search the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. Amen. So I had to lay all the papers out, and I had to try my best to put them in chronological order. And that's when I had to go and study this Gethsemane and what was it all about. And that's when the metaphor just jumped out. If I hadn't studied it, I'd have never known it. That everything that led up to his death was a metaphor about his death. Romans chapter 1 tells us that God has made certain things plain to us through creation. In other words, if there wasn't a Bible, you could still find Jesus. You say, Pastor, how are you going to find Jesus without the word? How did Enoch find him? How did Noah find him? How did Abraham find him? None of them had a Bible. Adam and Eve didn't have no Bible. How did they get back in relationship with God? See, that's a lot of Christians. They know the Bible, and they know what it says, and they believe it, but they don't know him. You remember when Jesus, in chapter 14, Thomas said, show us the Father, and we'll believe. We'll be all right. Amen. No, it was Philip who said that. And Jesus looked at Philip, and he said, Philip, have I been this long with you? And yet you still don't know who I am. There's a lot of Christians who have been in the church a long time, but they still don't know Jesus. They know him in his death, burial, and resurrection, but they don't know him. Amen. One-on-one, Jesus and you. The Lord says to us over in James chapter 4 and verse 8, come near to me and I'll come near to you. But there are some things you have to do. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you got to resist the devil first. And then he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, if you have practices that's opposite of the practices that Jesus has taught us, amen, and if you're trusting, leaning, and relying on something else other than Jesus, get rid of that. And that brings you closer to God, brings God closer to you. But those are sacrifices that we have to make. So Jesus crosses the Kidron Valley, goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, Judas knows what his place is, and he has already made a deal with the Sanhedrin, the Council of 70, to betray Jesus at just the right time. They didn't want to get Jesus in the daytime in front of the crowds because the crowds all held him to be a prophet. And so they didn't want to bother Jesus because they thought the people might go off on him. So they had to sneak around, make a deal with Judas. A lot of folks like to say that was the Lord made a deal with Judas to betray him. But the scriptures completely and utterly deny that. Judas went to the Pharisees, to the Sanhedrin, to make a deal with them, to betray him at the right time. And so Jesus is with his disciples in the garden. Judas is gone. After the Last Supper, Judas got up from the supper and left and took the money bag with him and never came back. And folks thought that he left the Last Supper because he was going to buy something for them since he was the treasurer and was the person that did that. But no, if you lean in closely, you'll find out that Peter wanted to know after Jesus said somebody at this table going to betray me. Peter wanted to know, so Peter told John, who was sitting next to Jesus, ask him who it is. And Jesus told John, whoever puts his bread in the dip with me, okay, he's the one. And Judas was the one. And then Jesus leaned over to Judas and said, that thou doest, do quickly. And so the disciples supposed Jesus told him to go and get something for them. Remember, he sent them to get the donkey. He sent them to get the upper room. Now he's sending them to do something else. But really, Judas was going out to bide his time until he could betray Jesus. And so when we're in the garden, Judas is not there. The 11 are. And after Jesus spends those chapters from John 14, or really the end of 13, all the way to 17, they cross the Kidron Valley, and they stop in the garden, and Jesus pulls together his disciples, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. You know, a lot of people ask me, how did they become the inner circle? They became that because they wanted to be that. How do people move forward in the church? They want to because they do it. They study to show themselves approved. They become good Bible teachers. A lot of Christians never become anything for Christ. They never become that inner circle because all they want to do is sit on the pew and chew, and pretty much their whole church life, that's all they're going to do. They're not going to no Bible classes. They're not going to no Sunday school. They ain't even taking their kids. And they go to church whenever they feel like it or even trouble is going on in their life. Or they become these Christians that we joke about, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. CME Christians. Go to church 3 times a year. That's not the inner circle. That is not how you get in the inner. If you're skipping Bible class, you ain't in no inner circle. You might be tripping in your mind and think you are, but you ain't. Okay, if you ain't doing church on the regular because you get to go, okay, and you understand what church is all about, if you're doing it whenever whatever hits you, well, then you ain't in the inner circle either, okay? And if you are not studying the Bible to show yourself approved unto God, you ain't in the inner circle. You a workman who need to be ashamed of yourself. Because you cannot rightly divide the word of truth. If Jesus said, okay, you want to come to heaven, quote 5 scriptures. Couldn't even get in. But Peter, James, and John was that inner circle. As you study the Gospels carefully, you will see they pressed in more than the others. And that's why Jesus chose them. It wasn't nothing special. You know Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. And the last time, he was looking him straight in the face. They enter into the garden. Jesus tells those 3 to, they come a little bit further with him than the rest of them. And he tells them to watch and pray. Jesus goes away and pray, and we know the story. He prayed, Father, if there's another way, take this cup from me. The answer come back, no, there's no other way. Jesus go back, find his disciples asleep, tell them to wake up and watch out for temptation. Amen. The flesh is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's sleep. They had just finished the Last Supper. They tired. They sleepy. They've been walking around all day sleepy. And so they're going to sleep. But in their spirit, they was willing to be with Jesus. But in their flesh, they was going to sleep. Amen. See how backwards that is? Spirit ain't leading the flesh. The flesh is leading the spirit. Amen. Anyway, Jesus goes away and prays again, only this time he modifies his prayer. He says, Father, strengthen me for the work that I got to do. If this cup cannot be taken away, then fix me for the work. And he came, he went and found him asleep again, and then he came back and prayed the third time, the same prayer, and then he went back, found him asleep again, and he said, hey, look, here comes Judas. And sure enough, there was Judas coming out with the Roman guards and with some Herodian soldiers and, amen, some of the Jewish guards and some of everybody, clubs and knives and swords and everything, coming to get Jesus. He was out there preaching all day, every day, and they ain't do nothing to him. Now, in the middle of the night, they showing up in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because that's when the devil works, in the dark. That's why we should not hang out in the dark. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us we're people of the light, not the dark. So we should be hanging out in the light. But they was hanging out in the dark. And that's when Judas showed up. Amen. So if you're hanging out in dark places, expect the devil to show up. But watch out. He ain't playing. We play church, but he don't. So Jesus gets arrested. And he's hauled off to Annas' house. Annas used to be the high priest, but he ain't the current high priest. I don't even know why they took him there. But this is Caiaphas' father-in-law. So they took him there, even though he's not the current high priest. His time to serve in that office is up. Caiaphas is now serving. So Annas can't do nothing. So they take him to Caiaphas. Caiaphas has suborned perjury from almost everybody in the room, but they're disagreeing with each other, so it's making no sense. He can't come up with a charge against Jesus out of all these false witnesses. Get this, the religious leaders calling for false witnesses. Caiaphas, who is the high priest that year, who had previously spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit, just because he was in that office, not because he served God, but because of respect for the office, the Lord spoke through him that it would be better for the nation that one man should die instead of the whole nation. This is that Pilate. I mean, that Caiaphas. And so Caiaphas asked Jesus a question he has to answer. He says, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us plainly whether you are the Christ. And when Jesus said he was the Christ, that's enough. He said, we don't need any more testimony. Look, we have heard for ourselves the blasphemy. He is just a man. We know his father Joseph. We know his mother Mary. We know his brothers Simon, James, Joseph, and Judas. And we also know his sisters. He's just a man. But he's claiming to be God. That's blasphemy. He got to be put to death. But then they have a problem. They can't put nobody to death because they're up under the subjugation of the Roman Empire. So they can't even put him to death, even though they regularly killed people. But all of a sudden, because the scriptures talked about the way that Jesus would die, they're about to carry out the word of God and don't even know it. They're about to be more obedient to God than they've been in their life and don't even know it. He's using them to fulfill what the prophet, as you heard Deacon Tate referring back to the prophets who spoke about Jesus, he's using them to fulfill those prophecies, especially when you read the Gospel of Matthew. This was done that this scripture might be fulfilled, and that was done that this scripture might be fulfilled. Well, they're fulfilling the scriptures and don't even know it, just like old crazy Caiaphas spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit and didn't even know it. Amen. So Pilate, Caiaphas can't do anything. He's accused him of blasphemy. This is a sin punishable by death. And so they take Jesus to Pilate. They try their best to convince Pilate every which way, but as soon as they mention that he's from Galilee, well, he know Pilate is like, hey, I ain't have nothing to do with this. Y'all trying to get rid of this man because you're jealous. And so they take him to Herod. Herod had for a long time wanted to see Jesus so he could see him do one of them miracles or raise the dead or something, make a stick float in the air or something. And so Jesus wouldn't deal with him at all, wouldn't do anything. And so they mocked him. That means they beat him. Okay? They beat him. And then they put a royal robe on him and mocked him some more, calling him the King of the Jews in mockery. And so since Herod can't get anything out of him, he's delivered back to Pilate. Pilate's wife sends him a note. Have nothing to do with this innocent man. I've suffered much in a dream concerning him. Now Pilate is really twisted up. He knows Jesus is up here because of jealousy, envy. Nothing that violates the Pax Romana, the Roman law, the Roman peace. Pilate says, okay, look, y'all think he's guilty? Take him and kill him according to your law. Don't make me a murderer. And so they start shouting things after Pilate have a little talk with Jesus, and Jesus let Pilate know that, hey, look, go ahead and submit to them. The worst sin is on them because they the ones brought me to you. And when Pilate got some kind of solace from that, he takes Jesus back out and tells them once again, look, I have examined him and I find no fault in him. And then they scare the crap out of Pilate. We have no king but Caesar. Should we go over there and tell Caesar that you're allowing the insurrectionist to live? As far as we're concerned, he has violated the Pax Romana. He is calling himself a king, and we have no king but Caesar. The Jews are saying, we have no king but Caesar. Lord, have mercy. How far have they sunk? And these are the church leaders, if you will. These are the men of God. Lord, have mercy. Suborning perjury. Claiming Caesar as your king. How far have they fallen? Now, Pilate makes them an offer. He has one more attempt to get out of it. He says, I got this guy. His name is Jesus Barabbas. And every year, I offer up to them one of their criminals who done got arrested, and we set them free. So I'll use that. They surely won't pick Barabbas, who's a murderer, insurrectionist, in jail. Surely they won't choose him. So I'll let them choose. This is my last way out. And so he says, which one do you want? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? Y'all know who they picked. Just like we about to do in our elections. I'm going to leave that alone. I just throw that out there. We're getting ready to have Barabbas as president of the United States. Really? God has set in front of us a choice between this one, and we know what this one like, and that one, and we know what that one's like, and we're going to choose this one. So they chose Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And what do I do with this Jesus? Everybody has to decide to do something with Jesus. You cannot ignore Jesus. You either have to say, I don't believe in him, or I do. But you cannot ignore him. What shall I do with this man called Jesus, who is the Christ? And you know what they said? Crucify him. And once again, Pilate is, but why? He has not done anything wrong. Crucify him. And that's when they said, we have no king but Caesar. Pilate hears this. He gives in. He relents. He turns Jesus over to the guards, who almost get in trouble. If you study the historical records in Rome at that time, what you're going to find is they almost got themselves in trouble. They beat Jesus so bad that he almost died. And if they had brought out a dead man, they would have all been dead. They beat Jesus to within an inch of his life. First, they would beat him with the rod, just like how you tenderize a steak. They beat him with rods until his back just swelled up, his face, his neck, his, his, the top of his head, all of his torso just beat up front and back. They would flip you over on one side, beat the crap out of you, and flip you over and beat the crap out of you some more. Then they would switch whips. They would come back with the leather whips. These whips were designed to cut open this tenderized skin, and they would do just that. This sliced his back wide open, and his front, his face, his head, everything, torso up was toe up. Skin hanging off, open. Oh, you say that's enough, Pastor. Oh, they're getting ready to put him on the cross now. No, they have another set of whips. Only this one has pieces of barbed wire in it. This one has pieces of bone in it. This one has pieces of metal in it. And it would actually stick to him and snatch it off, and some of his skin would come off. That's why Jesus almost died before he went to the cross. And after they almost killed him, they decided to stop. And then they placed a crown of thorns, 72 thorns on his head, according to the length of the branch that they pulled. And then they put his clothes back on him, or they beat him naked. They put his clothes back on him. They beat him, put his clothes back on him, and led him out. He couldn't even carry his own cross no more, at least the beam. That's the part that he carried. It was a two-piece thing, not the Latin crosses we always see. The pole would already be in the ground, and then they would lift him up and set him on top with the beam. And that was the cross. And Jesus had to carry that. It's like carrying a railroad tie on your back. Have you ever picked one of those up? And so he couldn't carry it. Because of the way they had, he was bleeding so much, he was about to go into cardiac arrest. And so they grabbed Simon, a man from Cyrene, a black man, and he carried the cross for Jesus. Amen. And that's how we know it, because they wrote it into the scriptures. They nailed Jesus through his wrist, because in the Greek, the wrist is a part of hand. If they had put it through the palm of his hand, his weight would have just ripped him off the cross. It would have just ripped off. So they put it through his wrist. And then they would take your feet and either put it on either side of that the bottom part, the pole, okay, and they would nail them to either side, or they would cross them and put one nail through both your ankles. Or they would be even more cruel and put a pedestal under your feet that enabled you to keep pushing up so you could breathe, and you would be on the cross alive longer, suffering. And Jesus was put up there without that pedestal, along with the two thieves with him. And from the sixth to the ninth hour, from 12 to 3, Jesus hung out there on that cross. The worst death imaginable. You can't even imagine the pain he went through, the suffering that he went through. And he could not die when he wanted to. He couldn't die until his father said, "It's okay. The penalty has been paid. The price has been paid. My holiness and my righteousness have been satisfied." And when Jesus knew that, then he said in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit, cried out in a loud voice. And again, there is so much more I could say, but I've had enough time with this, and I can barely get through it. It was years before I could even watch The Passion. I just couldn't, I couldn't deal with this. Not because, it's because of everything that he suffered. It's because of the things that I do. Even before I was born, he suffered and died for me. even before I was born, and I didn't even come to faith in him, thank God for my mother and father, until I was 20 years old. So for 20 years, I ignored his death, his death and his burial. It meant nothing to me. For 20 years, I had no idea that even while I was doing all the dirt I was doing, Jesus came and died that kind of death just for me. When finally on the cross he could take it no more, he cried out in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. To prove that he was dead, because they had broken the legs of the other two thieves, but scripture had said not one of his bones would be broken, and so he died without them having to break his legs. They would break their legs so they couldn't push themselves up to breathe. They would slice open their backs so it would be on that old rugged cross. Even that would be punishment by it, because it was an old splintered rugged cross. And you push your back up on that old splintered rugged cross, and your back is all tore up. Oh, that's some pain you don't ever want to feel. But if you want to breathe and keep living, you have to do it. And so they broke their legs so they could no longer do that, and they died. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. But to prove it, a soldier took a spear and stuck it in his side, and blood and water came out. Jesus died of asphyxiation along with cardiac arrest. When you begin to have a heart attack and your heart begins to swell because of all that Jesus was going through, that trauma, that's what was happening. A sack of water, liquid, builds up around your heart. And so when they thrust it into his side, water and blood came out. And John said that he was right there and he saw it. And he said he ain't no liar. He's telling the truth. Jesus came and did that for me, but I won't go to Bible class. Jesus came and did that just for me. I won't even take my kids to church. Jesus came and did that for me. I don't go to church. Jesus came and did that for me, but I don't give tithes and offerings. But Jesus came and did that just for me. No, we don't serve God like we do to win favor with him. Jesus came and did that just for me, for you, for us, to get the favor we couldn't get for ourselves from God. He has reconciled us back to God. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 speaks loudly to us and causes us to rejoice. Why? Because now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None at all. Amen. Jesus came and did that just for me. Do you know that you do not have to keep living without him? I heard this song a long time ago, and I'm going to play it before Crystal comes on and closes us out. It's by The Whispers. So really, you have to understand this song. You have to follow the words. And what they're talking about in this song is you don't have to be without Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let me refresh this page so I can find this song. Amen. And we'll close with that, and then we're going to open up and let Crystal come on. Church, don't forget. Amen. Jesus did it just for you, just for me, for all of us.
To the sky to meet
smack me down on my knees. I scream your name. I never thought I'd see the day that I would be here alone this way. And now, life seems so confusing, where it used to be amusing. My time with you has been my joy. But now, joy's turned into sorrow and left me no tomorrow. But I know I must go on. Living without you, living without you. When sooner or later comes my way, I'll open my heart to hear you say, this is our time to reunite. So lay down your pain, come to the light. And I know that you took on all my problems, but you always seem to solve them. From the tears of pain to tears of joy. But now, all my joy turned into sorrow. I gotta build a new tomorrow, 'cause I know I can't go on living without you. There is no need for you to cry, as you are now the one was I. And where I am now, so shall you be. So lay down your cross and find.
Bobbing your head to that one. That was some smooth jazz right there. But if you listen to the words, oh my God. I got a whole lot to say, but I really don't even want to take the time to really say too much, because this
service has really been emotional. I have managed to keep myself intact. Then pastor plays that song, and it's like, okay, I think I want to cry. Then my body's like, yeah, I think you're crying. And then I'm like, no, I can't be crying because I'll be a hot mess coming out here sniffling. But he did it for us. Jesus did it for us. When I was listening to Deacon Charles Tate do altar call, which ultimately, altar call, which ultimately always sounds like a sermon, whether he knows it or not. When he said that Jesus took a beat down, and I was driving listening to that, I said, "Ooh, a beat down. Dang, Jesus, you know, there's really no words to put to what Jesus endured, not only on the cross, but leading up to the cross. There are no proper words to really describe what that was. Now, Pastor was doing a really good job of bringing visualization and an understanding to what Jesus went through, but we'll never really know. We'll never fully understand. So because we can't, we'll never grasp it. No one's ever treated us like that. None of us would ever even survive that. Somebody mess around and come and try to slap a mosquito off your face, and you'll mess around and think your world is coming to an end. So when you think about everything that Jesus endured, not only on the cross, but on his way to the cross, that is something that we will never fully understand, never fully grasp, and we all need to be thankful that it's never going to be something that we're ever, ever, ever going to have. So if you got nothing else to say, then all you need to really say is thank you. Because nobody on the face of this planet, not even the people who swear that they love you the most, would be willing to go through that for you. We would just have to make it clear, you saved, I'm saved, we'll see you on the other side. Because I'm not taking that for you. So if you got nothing else, you need to have a praise on your lips. And you need to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Because of what he did for us, we are reconciled back to the Father. Our relationship is back whole again. And when the Lord sees us, he looks at us the way that we were before sin entered into our lives, or before we entered into sin, because, you know, we're all born and shaped in iniquity. So if you don't have anything else to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because if it wasn't for him, we all going to the same place. And I know a whole bunch of people think that hell doesn't exist. Oh, but it does. Okay? Jesus didn't just, hell is a real place. And if you don't choose Jesus, you live in a real dangerous life. You're playing for the team in which the coach doesn't care about you. And obviously the coach is Satan. He don't care if you on his team or not. So if nothing else touched you about what you heard today, remember that everything that Jesus did, he did for you. Amen? Amen. So thank you, Pastor O, for the word today. It has been an awesome Good Friday service. We've heard wonderful music, wonderful reading, prayers, scripture. And now you get a super abridged version of the announcements simply because tomorrow is Saturday, and then you'll just get everything. And then you'll get to hear me all over again. Amen. So just by way of a couple of small announcements, if you want to hear everything else, you're just going to have to tune in tomorrow. You're just going to have to call back tomorrow and listen to our worship service. Amen. So we do have our Sunday school that begins at 9 a.m. on Sundays, taught by Pastor Janice Tate. We have our Sunday worship service that happens at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. We are located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. Our Sunday worship service, excuse me, begins at 10 a.m. As a reminder, Monday, Minister Lachelle Anderson is on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Street Love at 6:30, again on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class on Blog Talk Radio. I will update you on tomorrow with who's teaching on Wednesday and what the lesson is, so just make sure to tune in. Today, we will have no Bring Back the Family this evening. You can only have one Blog Talk Radio show a day, and so we have allotted our time to this awesome Good Friday service today. So there is no Bring Back the Family this evening, but it will be back next Friday. And tomorrow, again, we have our Saturday worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. I have no idea who's preaching. It doesn't matter. Just participate. You're going to get word no matter who's bringing it to you, okay? I think it was either last week or the week before, you know, we had a surprise preacher, and that was Pastor O. Surprise, surprise, because Pastor O didn't know he was preaching, but he had to jump in. So, you know, if you really, really care about who's preaching, you're more than welcome to go on our church website, rfcm.org. It will tell you who the preachers are for, you know, our Saturdays and our Sundays. But again, the Holy Spirit does his job and he knows what's up. So all you just need to do is just be present. You're still going to get it. Doesn't matter who's giving it. Amen. We just want to do a quick reminder that we do have a new class that's beginning on April 1st on Blog Talk Radio at 6 o'clock. April 1st is just a couple of days from now. So it's beginning on Monday, April 1st at 6 p.m. again here on Blog Talk Radio. And it is entitled The Bible, God's Word to Us. All right. The class is taught by Pastor O. It's a 5-week class. You do need the book for the class. The book was written by Pastor O. Like I said, I'm going to get him to sign all his books because he's an author and he didn't even know he was, but Jesus knows how to use people the way that he wants to use them. And so I'm pretty sure Pastor O surprises himself with the books that he's written because I don't think he's ever really considered himself a writer. So he did write the book. The Bible, God's Word to Us. You're going to need the book to participate in the class. I know they were on the back table last Sunday, but I do believe that if you still need a book, you may just need to go ahead and reach out to Pastor O, because I'm not really sure what the rules are going to be if you still need a book and you're getting it after the books have already been ordered. So the questions are posted on our church website at rfcm.org. Pastor did send the email a couple weeks back with the questions, and they will also be on the back table if you're in person on Sundays and want to get the questions. Just don't forget that everything we do here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, to get everything you need to know about what we got going on. Amen. Books, jobs, resources, and more. All of it is for you and for others for free. So just make sure to use it for what you need it for, and then just share it with others. And then just quickly, I'm not going to go through the whole prayer list. We're just going to ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Let's see what else. I don't want to read that devotion. I got another devotional for you. And it is entitled, The Resurrection of Jesus Changed Everything. Amen. And it reads as follows. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies like anyone else, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish. That's John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It literally split history into AD and BC. It's the most important event in human history, and it proves three things. First, the resurrection proves that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. He repeatedly said he was the Son of God who came to die for our sins, and he did just that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most well-documented events in history. It would stand up in any court of law. In fact, it has many, many times throughout centuries. The Apostle Paul said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also." And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Second, the resurrection proves that Jesus keeps his promises. Jesus told his disciples that he will be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Because Jesus kept that promise, you can trust the other promises in the Word of God. The Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 22. And third, the resurrection proves that there is life after death. Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have hope for the future, and it is a hope that will not disappoint. Jesus said, "I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies like anyone else, shall live again. He has given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish." And again, that's John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Where else are you going to get a promise like that? Nowhere. Who else can give it to you? No one. If you don't get it from Jesus, you won't have it. That is an amazing benefit, and it's available to you today. What's the qualification? You must believe. The Bible says this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. God's word, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. The good news is that the death and resurrection of Jesus gives us access to God. In other words, we can only get to heaven by trusting in God through his son, Jesus Christ. God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 22. And remember that Jesus did it just for you. Amen? Amen. And those are your sort of mini announcements? Yeah. Amen. Something like that.
Amen.
Oh, like that.
Know, I jump off, and then Jesus is like, "Didn't you preach?" I'm like, "Yeah." I guess he looked at my excitement to hear what you was going to say.
Oh, Lord. I'm so proud of you. You kept it together, too. I said, it was a couple of places in there where you got silent, and I always know when you're getting ready to cry. I say, "Oh, Jesus, please don't let him cry," and you didn't. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, because this is a passage.
Thank you very much.
You know, I tried never to do Good Fridays. I tried so hard to dump it on Janice.
Mm-mm.
Pastor Janice, or jump it on Pastor Jonathan, and then when the Lord said no, then I tried to dump it on Sarah. He said, "Didn't she just preach twice?" And then I tried to dump
back
it
to
on Man, my last hope was Terrence, because he always accepts Terrence, right? He said no.
Nope.
I've had to learn how to deal with this Good Friday, you know, because I've never been able to deal with it. No, it's not.
It's not easy.
Not when you...
But you did good. I'm proud of you.
You know, it was only two spots, and I was like, okay, Jesus, I'm gone.
I heard her. I was like, please no.
You want me to sit? And they'll say something funny to me, and then I'll start laughing. And you know, then there you go. But all that happens on the
get
inside.
Get your back on track.
Y'all didn't hear none of that.
Yep. It came out a little bit, but no tears come behind it. So I was like, "Ooh, thank you, Lord. You got through it." So, amen.
That's why it took me so long to study crucifixion. There was this scientist who went through it step by step, and exactly how Jesus died, and a bunch of medical terms and everything, and I'm like,
it's brutal.
Do I need to know this much? Ain't this TMI?
Right. We're good now. We're on this side of it. Do we really got to go backwards to that? But
I'm telling you.
Sometimes when you don't fully understand a thing, when you do fully understand a thing, it just brings more revelation, and it just brings a deeper understanding, and that's exactly what's happened. So we thank you for
that's
it.
What it is.
It's brutal, but we thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Tell Mira I say what's up on this Good Friday.
Amen. I shall. See y'all tomorrow.
All right. Well, I was finna cut my mic off. Oh, through life.
You need a break.
I'm getting ready to mute myself. Okay, Crystal, let me get out of here.
All right.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who took the time to share with us today as we celebrate Good Friday. You know, it's kind of funny, like Deacon Tate said, it is a celebration, but, you know, you kind of get angry with yourself or, you know, some feel some kind of way about you being the reason Jesus had to go through all of that. But then what he did for Deacon Tate, he did for me, is said, but look at this. I did that for you. And it's a done deal. I ain't got one. The only stripes I have on me is the nail print, so you can see it's really me. And that stick in the side, that's it. And that's just there for you to see. I'm good. I'm sitting right here at the Father, okay? So anyway, we thank God for the great sacrifice that Jesus made. You heard me mention my book, and I do this every year. I read it all through the year, really, you know, his birth and childhood at Christmas, his public ministry, like, from Christmas to now, and then from the Last Supper until he ascends back into heaven. The book is, people keep asking me, the book is Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension. And what we did is put everything in order from his birth to his ascension as best we could, even though the Bible is nowhere near chronological, but you can chronicalize it, okay? And we did the best we could following the Holy Spirit. So the book is Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension, and you could pick up at section 3, which deals with these things, from the Last Supper until the ascension. And you can, amen, add to this season and learn a lot of things you probably didn't know. Amen. Tomorrow we're going to have the pleasure of having Minister Lachelle Anderson. I know Crystal told you about that, but she's going to be our preacher for tomorrow. And I'm sure she's going to have a word from the Lord. Y'all know her. You know how she is. She's going to have a word. And then I'll be Sunday preaching about the risen Jesus. I know we stopped today at his death, and we stayed there. And that was intentional. It's Sunday. Jesus is going to be up out the grave. So come on out Sunday, and we'll be talking about the risen Jesus. We know about the one who died and was buried, but now we're going to talk about the risen Jesus. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Amen. What was I going to play for this last? Amen. Come visit with us on Easter. Amen. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Now, here's a song that might help you out, okay, to get past it. Because of what Jesus did for us, guess what we got? And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.